Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our series of studies, Seven Reasons Why Christ Died or Why Christ Must Die. We're so selfish in this matter. We think that he died to save us from our sins. Indeed, he did. Our sins deserve death, and the Lord Jesus Christ died our death, and he died as our substitute on that cross. And God directed his judgment against the Lord Jesus when he died on that cross for you and for me. But there are other reasons why Christ died. And these reasons are valid. And they have a terrific impact. And I think the one today, which we're going to study, the fourth study of this series, to deliver us from this present evil world. And I think that is very important, and his death separates us from this world. We're reading Galatians 1 and 4. Paul, writing to the Christians there, says, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world." You can see that I've adopted the language of the Scripture for the title of this study today, "According to the Will of God our Father." And the apostle, that's in the very first verses of the epistle, and in the very last verses of the epistle, the apostle has something else to say about the world. We read in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And that world is that fraternity of men, that cosmos, that are grouped together. You do not get a correct picture of the world by looking at the individual. We are not to shun the individual, but we are to shun the world, and we need deliverance from this world, because the world is our enemy. We read, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, that the world is one of our three enemies. I'll read that portion of Scripture. They're grouped together there, and as far as I can remember, they're the only place in the Scripture where the threefold enemy of the Christian is grouped together. Here it is. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's Satan, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now here we have the threefold enemy: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now the world is one of those enemies, and a very real enemy. It's that fraternity of men that is aligned against God and his people. When you get a group of men together, they leave God out in their fraternity. Now, the world hates the Christian. We read, for instance, in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, the Lord is warning his disciples. He says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world doesn't love you." And I'll tell you, they don't love the Christian. The world hates the Christian. Why? Because he reminds them of Christ, and they hated Christ while he was here. The world put Christ on the cross. And the Apostle Paul says in that 14th verse of the 6th chapter of Galatians, "When you put my Lord on the cross, you put me on the cross. And I am separated from this world by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." They put Christ on the cross. And the Apostle Paul says, "I don't want them as my friends." However, we must remember that the individual is not a picture of the world. We are to love individuals. We'll get to that point a little farther down in our studies. Now, the Christian's attitude toward the world is spoken of by the Apostle John in his first epistle, chapter 2, and verse 15. And he warns his beloved children, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now notice, please, he doesn't say that the Father doesn't love him. The love of the Father is not in him. That's different from the statement we just made. Let's read it again. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Yet if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He still lives him. But what does this mean? It means that he is not enjoying the love of the Father when he loves the world. This world order, the cosmos, it's an order of things, and it's a beautiful order as far as they're concerned. And it's an orderly thing. It's an orderly arrangement against God. And we can love the world. The Christian can love the world and the things that are in the world for that matter. But he's not to do so, because if he does, he will not be appreciating the love of God, the Father. Let's get to that, the fact that God loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, someone might say, if God loved the world, shouldn't we love them? Now, there's a difference between God's love and our love. God loves the world as such because he knows what's ahead of this world. He knows that it's an eternity in hell. And he loves their souls. No, he doesn't love their ways. He doesn't love the world in the sense that he loves their ways, but he loves their souls. Now, we can love the souls of men, but we are not to get into their order of things. We are not to join with them. We are not to be the hail fellow well met, if I may use that phrase. Not as far as the world is concerned. They hate us, and they hate our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to stand aloof from the world in that sense, but not to the sense that we isolate ourselves. Paul speaks in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. If you try to, you don't have to correct everything that's in the world, because if you did, you'd have to go out of the world. We're in a fraternity of people all around us. Now, some of us outright hate us. Some may respect us, but some hate us. And that hatred is indeed generated by Satan himself, I believe. Because God knows what's ahead of them, and he's not willing that any should perish. Let's read that scripture in 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. Here's why God loves the world. Here it is. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, the knowledge of the truth is this. If they don't accept Christ, they go to hell. Now, that's a severe thing. Now, why does the world hate a Christian? Well, we've already said, because we remind them of Christ. But we remind them of the fact, if we walk for our Lord Jesus Christ, we remind the world of the fact there is a Lord whom you should serve. It's a very real thing, and it disturbs them. It makes them realize they have not countenanced Christ. They have not bowed to his love. They have not loved him in return. They have not thanked him that he died on the cross for them. They want their sins. They want to go their evil way. And they'll lead you and me out of it. And we're not to join them either, by the way. We're not to join them. And that's the reason God loves them. The Christian is not of the world. We read, for instance, in John 17 and 9, the Lord, this is the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that it illustrates very plainly our attitude toward the world. He says, I pray for them, in verse 9 of John chapter 17, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And then he says down in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then he goes down to verse 16, they are in the world, but not of the world. And that certainly is an important distinction. We're in the world, they surround us, but we're not of the world. Now, we're to hate their ways, but we are to love their souls, just like God the Father. Now, I'm to make friends of individuals. I'm to win people to Christ. I thank God for the man who was so faithful to me to see through my facade of religion, and I had some of it, and to see through my facade of religion that I had not peace with God, and he kept the word of God before me. He loved my soul. He kept the word of God before me, and finally the Spirit of God made it real to my soul, and I was saved. And I revere that man to this day. He's in heaven now, but I'm going to see him and thank him there, as I did on earth, that he loved my soul. That's to be our attitude. We are to have the same pity in our hearts that God has in his heart toward the souls of men around us. The Apostle Paul, for instance, says in Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now, this Israel was the one that stoned Paul at Lystra, and he was dead. I think he died right there. Now he revived, but they stoned him. They beat him 5 times. I think it is with 40 stripes, save one, and that was the Jewish number of beating people. Paul was beaten, and yet he says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God is that they might be saved." He knew what was ahead of them. And so it is with you and me. We do not need to go along with their plans. We do not need to go along with the fine things that they would do and forget God and to go to their beer busts and of all of sort of things like that, partake of their drugs and follow into their sins. No, that we're to love their souls. We're to love their souls, and we're to keep Christ before them, so that they might believe and be saved, and their souls might be in the glory with our Lord Jesus Christ. The world's terrible guilt, they put Christ on the cross. That's the guilt of this world. This world is condemned. It's headed for judgment. But it's possible to be separated from this world and to be taken into God's family through simple, trusting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for me on the cross of Calvary. And when I put my faith in that, when I return his love, when I turn my back on those friends that would say, "Don't go in for that holy than thou stuff, don't go in for it. Oh, they don't know what they're talking about." But when I go in for it, and when I'm saved, the Spirit of God gives me new life. And then my desire should be to seek the souls of other men. Remember this, please. You can change an individual, but you're not going to change the world. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus that we have seen the true truth of God and have escaped the judgment of this world. But help us to love their souls. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.